Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Washington, D.C., it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry Online Radio. QLPOR, as it's widely known, features a bevy of poets, spoken word artists, and live poetry readings with best-selling authors. Your host is Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Good evening, everyone. I am Michael Anthony Ingram, and as the music continues to play, my special guest tonight is a friend of the show. His name is John Patrick Robbins. As you know, good people, this is National Poetry Month, and I am so glad that he's here. He has a new book of poetry, Rave Reviews to Killer Feedback. Welcome, John Patrick Robbins. Hello, sir.
Hello, Michael. How the hell are you, my friend?
I am well. I am well in more ways than one. I am well. How are you?
I am smashing as always.
Hey, I know it. I know it.
You know.
Our audience loves it when you're on the show. The five people who listen,
we're the greatest team ever.
Yes, we are, my friend. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Okay. Okay. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think it's important to celebrate National Poetry Month? Why is it important to do that?
Well, I mean, this is clearly to give honor to great poets like myself. I mean, in our tireless efforts to make people think, man, I'm really glad he's not flying an airplane. I mean,
yes,
you know, because
yes.
Think about it. I'm not qualified to do anything else now. Joking aside, poetry is kind of like the fabric of everything. If you think how far poetry is ingrained into our society and literary history, poetry is one thing that connects to everybody. And it is music, and it's just like music. I mean, so and in that sense, it speaks to everybody. It's not just for one group of people. It speaks to everybody, and it's a history, you know. And
yes, it is.
I know it sounds so. Yeah, I don't. You don't really want the deep answers from me, because like, but anyway.
No, I don't. No. I really don't. Keep a surface.
Oh, no, thank you. You know me too well. Like, no,
I know you too well.
I'm surprised you don't have like a cat toy out for me to play with.
Well, now that we've got that out of the way, let's begin this journey. Tell me about your new book. Tell me about your new book.
Well, I do have a new book out. I'm glad you noticed that. It's Rave Reviews to Killer Feedback from Between Shadows Press, from a fantastic press out of New Jersey. Great friend and publisher, Tom Bakeless. Once again, don't try to get me to pronounce your name, because I don't know if you know this. I like to drink.
Right. I know that.
Face of sobriety. No, Tom offered me to do this book. It's a limited run. It's really great. Tom is just an incredible publisher and writer himself, and definitely check it out. This book is already number one in Norway. A lot of people don't know that, but and it's a poetry, you know, chart. Yeah, based on my own mind. So I'm in the
course.
That's all that matters. Of course, because I'm in my own dimension, as you know.
Yes.
Once
is,
you
yes,
know,
I do know.
Highly intoxicated. So.
But hey. The cover of your book is quite striking. Tell me about the cover.
Well,
how did that come about?
No, the cover, you know, I do my own covers, and Tom was kind enough to let me do mine. And, you know, to me, that's the one thing that's always going to catch somebody is the title and then the cover. And
I
just kind of was playing along with – a lot of times I just play around with covers. I do covers for other people. And I just had that. And, of course, I have the Aces and Eights in the corner, once it's a Dead Man's Hand. And because, you know, I mean, I'm always writing. It seems like I'm the death writer. It's like, wow, he's really happy. People who bought this book also bought a chair and a rope. I'm just saying. It's like, no. No. No, it's Yeah, I just kind of came up with the image, and I just thought, yeah, well, that's striking. That catches your attention, and there it is. So, yeah.
Well, tell me,
like, wow,
listen back just a moment. Yeah, tell me about the title, Rave Reviews to Killer Feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that title.
Well, I'll tell you about the title, and you're right. You are throwing me off with the questions. It's like you're trying to make my brain actually work. I'm usually not up this early, by the way. Rave Reviews to Killer Feedback. You know, I just kind of wanted this, like, I've always loved bands like metal and stuff like that, so I was kind of just wanted a killer title, and I thought, man, that's a killer title. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's no more deep than that. Mm-hmm. I sit around and write titles, though. In all seriousness,
okay.
I'll just write a bunch of titles, and usually if I can't come up with the right, then boom, you get a book. So there's
okay.
Like a deep process.
Okay. Very nice,
so, yeah.
Very nice. Well,
yeah.
My friend, let's begin our journey together tonight. Please share a poem.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Michael, and once again, I want to thank you for having me on the show. You look wonderful, and I'm glad
you
lived with the restraining order so I could be here, because
yes.
I just love being
yes.
around.
Yes, well.
You know.
It took a lot of courage, but I did.
I know. Don't fear it. Don't fear our relationship. I'm just saying. Anyway, and I'm back on my meds, so you'd be really happy. I'm going to start out the evening with a nice, refined write, just something that shows how dignified of a poet I am. And I
All
thought
right.
I would start this one out. And this is just such a philosophical, deep write that I know you're going to at least get a chuckle from. And it's called, Are My Balls Showing? So
oh,
here
wow.
we go. Being I'm writing about women, cocktails, and all those assorted good times in between, as I act like some strange primitive creature, I believe women once referred to as a man. I know it's shocking. We're so fucking rare. Maybe we need to put me on ice with Walt Disney and that caveman just to preserve the last of my kind. But if we were up to this generation and a few lit twats, they would hunt me into extinction. Of course, it wouldn't be hard finding me. Just check the strip clubs and drunk tanks nearest you. I'm too big to be hiding and too fucking buzzed to care. Please know from the depths of my heart, I don't give a single solitary fuck about you or your snarky-ass opinion. To be the man, you gotta beat the man. So a once great man said. And that's the end of that one. Wow, so beautiful.
Wow, John. You came out strong, man. You came out strong. Share another.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, I can't always be so you know, terrible. I have to kind of be nice. So let's shift
yes.
it up a little bit.
All right.
You know, and this is a little right that I did. And it might be inspired by a very true story. So here we go. It's called Dilemma. She said to me as we rode, my hand always placed firmly upon her thigh, you know, if I could, I'd give you a baby. Well, that's nice, sweetheart, but I would much rather give you an orgasm instead. Liv smiled, shaking her head, looking at me. Baby, I'm being serious. You need to think about it, really. And you as well, my darling, I replied, sliding my hand up her thigh to the ever-so-perfect promised land. As we embrace, not a care in the world, that moment that is bliss without a single word spoken, as we pause to look deep into one another's eyes. I love you, sweetheart, and everything I need is here in this moment with you. But there's something you need to know. Baby, you need to seriously think about this. Don't you want a little version of you? I'm not so hip on a mini-me, sweetheart, but I'm kind of hip on staying alive, because in case you didn't know it, you're in the wrong lane. Oh, Jesus Christ, Liv snapped as she swerved back into her lane, nearly going off the road, as the semi just blew his horn. As I laughed like a madman, I truly was. Sometimes to be lost in one another had its hazards. I had a supposed death wish, but now I had her. Love's a tricky business. I believe next time we will discuss such matters in the bedroom rather than upon the interstate. I loved her hopelessly and held on to her for dear life. The party just started, and thankfully we had narrowly avoided turning off the lights. We laughed together as the lunatics were officially running the asylum. Cheers.
Wow.
So
that's based on the truth. Based on the true story, my friend?
Well, that might be. I can't reveal that because then I'll probably be killed. But yeah.
Okay.
We can't get too bad, you know.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question.
Uh-oh.
Does it hurt you to write poetry? If not, why not?
Does it hurt me to write poetry?
If not, why not?
Okay there, Dr. Spooth.
I told you I was prepared tonight.
I know, you came out swinging too. You're like, I know how to do this. When not writing, I can be a very crabby person. I mean, because, like, jokes aside and all, you know, I mean, I do write deep work, as you know, but it's like...
Yes, I do.
I mean, even humor takes a lot of intelligence. So when not writing, yeah, it's kind of like, I compare it to being, it's like sailing, it's like being out in the water. And when it's like a dead calm, it freaks you out. Because, you know, we're insecure by nature. Everybody is. And you think, was it gone? You get that paranoia. I do, especially. And you get that paranoia. You think, well, is it gone? What's going on, you know, because you try. I always find just sit and wait. And sometimes it might not come to you for a day or whenever. But, yeah, does it hurt me not to write? Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like what I was meant to do, I think.
Okay. Well, let me ask a follow-up question. Are you willing to be hurt by the poetry of others? If not, why not?
I mean, I'm hoping to get a nice spanking when I read a nice poem from somebody else. But, you know, they don't always guarantee, and they let me down. And I am the mad editor. I want the poets to know that I've been disappointed. You've been very naughty. And I'm watching you, people. I'm just saying. I don't mean, you know. But, yeah.
Are you willing to be vulnerable when you listen to or read another person's poem?
What, were you just planning to attack me with these questions? I owe you one, Mike. I really
you do, buddy. You do.
And you know me. I'll get you back.
You'll get me back. Yeah, I know.
No. Love you to death, but it's like...
I know you do.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I read, I'm always open-minded when I read other people's work. I mean, that never changes. Do you ever really see some great lines? You think, man, that's you know, of course, you know, I stay open-minded to everything. I'm never going to think my way is the best way because, you know, if you always stay green, you're always learning. And that's the way I do.
Right.
So I probably, you know me, I don't really make sense most of the time, but that probably made a little bit of sense.
It did make sense. Yeah, it did. Share another poem, buddy. Share another poem.
All right. I'm going to shift gears and get serious for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to dedicate this next one to somebody that kind of means the world to me. And she definitely knows it and probably listening. If not, she'll probably be like, oh, shit. But
okay.
Anyway, this is dedicated to Lynn Bowen. And I love you, sweetheart. So this one's dedicated to you. Mm-hmm. It's called Concrete Ships Upon the Horizon. And sunset's reprise and in full view, where words must stand alone as fading light gave depth to moments and treasures shared between weary hearts, clasped within hand in hand. One cannot brave darkest waters alone, as gentle souls are masked by illusion, yet truest hearts are naked to one another in the purest of sense, given in confessions heard in the ears of lovers and dreamers alike. Concrete ships stand as monuments to the very second I began this life anew. Strength is in the willingness to expose the fractures of children, internalized our sympathies, embrace of a moment we lose ourselves in the glimmers of an uncertain bliss. Tide is an ever-moving current, as so is love. Cherish it as you should, as I shall forever cherish you. That's the end of that one.
Wow, that was really nice. I really like that,
know,
my friend.
Like, yeah, where did John go?
Yeah, boy. Yeah, where did he go? And who are you, masked man? Who are you?
Who is this strange
man? Now that
man
was
that
nice.
A crazy lunatic over here and taking away.
That was beautiful, buddy. She's proud to have you, whoever she is. She's proud to have you, man. That's
well,
a good thing.
So, I mean, you need to pay more attention.
Look, I can't run the control board. Talk to you. Ask questions.
They say you can't drink and drive. No, it's frowned upon in some countries.
I know who she is. I know who she is.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Well,
do poems change color in certain lights?
Brilliant. I mean, mine can change color. They're often quite blue. But... and can guys,
oh, I like
they
that.
Can, they can... Yeah, they can change color after I, you know, I don't literally read my poems in front of people because they're like, okay, you know, then they're like, well, we finally got him now. But, yeah, they would change a lot of color. They would change the color of red because they would probably kill me.
I see you're on your A game tonight, buddy, and I like it. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Share another poem. Share another poem. Share another poem.
All right, I know on the show, ever since I've been on the show, I've always kind of, I've always read a poem for my friend that passed, Robert Lee White, and I wrote one for him. So this is a very deep cut and has a lot of great meaning, so I hope everybody enjoys it. But anyways, this is my open letter to Robert Lee White. You know, at one time, if you had told me of your sudden life's departure and handed me a gun, I would have probably put serious thought into taking that trip with you, my friend. We had weathered more storms than Carolina's weather-worn coast, drank more than any two human beings should have ever consumed. There have been many times as I sit chasing the same demons as you, I have felt your presence, as I've grown accustomed to calling old friends new ghosts. Sometimes I want to curse you for leaving me here. But you were a fractured soul by design and my best friend by default. I knew the last conversation we had was our farewell. We played Russian roulette with our bodies, and the trigger lingered upon your demise. There's a silent understanding within two lost souls that even though clear of its direction, hurts all the same. I once believed I would chase death until I once again found myself in the company of you. But I have found another who makes me embrace life in ways I never knew possible. I have no tombstone, which is simply a milepost to a life's departure, nothing more. I have only my memories, like sunsets painted across the summer's fading sun. But now I have her, and that's good enough for me. We laughed together, and I thought of an old conversation between you and I, where I played the role that has led to publication and many burnt bridges along the way. The lone wolf's lie and the not-so-grand delusion that I would never find that one that made me cast aside all the rest. We made a bet that you took to the grave, and I kept on the table along with many a soon-to-be empty bottle. I imagine life now with her by my side looking out over the water, as you are laughing upon the winds at my loss that's become my soul's gain. I will owe you around one day, my old friend, but fortunately, I can say, as I bask in the happiness I never expected to find, you're going to have a hell of a wait. One day, brother, I look forward to catching up. The end of that one.
Oh, wow. That really touched me, buddy. It's a very powerful poem.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, well, you know,
that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good
that's
one.
A good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good one to have to be your truth.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me ask this question. Have you've written a lot? Have your favorite poems already arrived, or are they still on their way?
Well, you know, I can't really say, you know, I have my favorites and I have my moments, but, you know, mm-hmm. it's like I think some of the best work I'm doing is kind of slowly coming in and changing and evolving, you know.
All right.
Because, I mean, hell, you look, even if you can go back and look from this very first time I got on this show and
mm-hmm.
you can actually see the evolution, you know. And
yes, I can.
So, I mean, that's clear. I think they're definitely on the way. I think there's
mm-hmm.
a lot more deep and better rights and different than just doom and gloom. Once I got dark for a
mm-hmm.
while.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's common knowledge. You did. So it's good to see you in a different light tonight. Maybe it is a different color, but it's a different light, man. I like it. I like it. I like hearing
but,
you like this.
I mean, I can't put that all on me. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's kind of clear.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
yeah,
without being embarrassing anybody or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah,
mm-hmm.
no, that ride was special. So glad you dug it.
All right, very nice, buddy. Very nice. Please share another.
All right, now we're gonna go to the book, the new book. So. I'm going to read one from Rave Reviews to Killer Feedback, available between the Shadows Press. Well, now I'm sounding like an ad man. So anyway.
It's all right.
This is in the book. It's called What? All right. This is a little – we've got to bring the room up a little before I totally kill it. Anyways.
All right.
I found a book of poetry on a park bench. It was from a lit scene darling. So I thanked the gods and did what any well-balanced individual would do. Tossed it in the trash, stuffing it under a funky-smelling diaper, just to make sure some innocent child wouldn't find it. Poetry is a terrible thing to waste upon a perfectly good page. Isn't this book proof alone of that statement? Oh, you like me. Well, weirdo, that's great, because I got your money. So, nah, I still don't like you. There you go. Beautiful. See, I like to do that to my readers.
You like to do a lot of things to your readers. You take them
well,
on an emotional roller coaster. Yes, you do.
Like,
yes,
wow,
you do,
you know.
Buddy. Here's one of those questions for you, buddy. Is a Are you saying that you didn't come on here for this?
Oh, I did. You know what? I think we were in the green room a little too long.
All right. I told you I prepared.
Okay.
Because I knew it was you. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Is a poem letting your guard down or building a wall?
I would say definitely letting your guard down. You can build a wall. You certainly can. I mean, you know me. Okay, like outside of this and everything. I mean,
yes.
It's definitely – I built a persona that
mm-hmm.
I've kind of – you know, I think that I've definitely kind of let down a little bit, but most people don't
right.
know me, no. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it can be that completely. You can completely build a persona and – but then again, I definitely let my guard down. I mean, you can always tell. It's always a mix of everything, you know, when it
mm-hmm.
comes to having showing your heart occasionally. Once I do,
mm-hmm.
when I do, it's like, that's
but
what
you
it's got. But see, that's what worked for me. Because, like, yeah, I can give you that deep. But nobody just, if you did one or the other, it's very limited. You know, I think there's
yes.
some people that kind of think everything has to be a cookie cutter. And that really
mm-hmm.
annoys me. Why can't you have a full range of emotions? I want to take people through a full range of emotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I
wow.
do, and I hope I do.
Yeah, you do. Well, let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
We are back. I am Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with my buddy, poet extraordinaire, John Patrick Robbins. And John, you have a caller, my friend. You have a caller. Should I bring this person on? Anything to get away from my questions. I know that's what that really means. Okay. All right, man. Here we go. Good evening, area code 832-802. You're on the air with John. Good evening.
Hi, this like totally isn't John's co-editor, Scott Sibbons. And, I was wondering, John, free bird or not, because I'm waiting on that.
Who let you out of your cage?
Scott, do you have a question for your friend, for your co-editor?
In John's latest book, how did he know that I was the Vertic Weirdo?
Okay.
I like that the cat makes a noise in the background. At least I hope it was a cat and not like a, you know, gerbil. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, the ankle bracelet was a dead giveaway. I mean, it looks great with your new bikini, Scott, but yeah, that has to stay so many feet away from school. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, that is a dead giveaway. Thank you, Scott.
Do you have another question for John, Scott?
John, what are you wearing right now? Because it sounds very sexy.
It actually does. I went out and I got me a brand new cocktail dress. It's nice, sheen, looks wonderful. And also, Lynn would pick me up some nice S&M gear, which is really great because I'm going to go out to my bar, and it's a special bar that me and Scott like to go to. And I'll see you there, buddy. And bring the nipple clamp.
All right.
I lost mine.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for calling in. Thank you, Scott, for calling in. You're welcome back here anytime. You're welcome back anytime. Until next time, Scott, take care of yourself. Be safe out there.
All right?
Read another poem, buddy. Read another poem. I rarely have shows like this, so please read another poem.
Yeah, I can guarantee that. All right. Talking about that little weirdo that is my co-editor, let's read one from the new book. Let's dedicate it to him, called The Red Light's Always On, and I always mess this one up. So it's going to be fun. But, you know, I mess something up, people say, well, he's just drunk. You know, that's what happens. I have a great excuse every time I run into somebody's house. But, you know, anyways, you know, I don't know why I don't have a license anymore. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I understand. Okay.
All right. I know you do. Anyways.
Yeah, but
The Red Light's Always On. Okay. A perverted friend said to me between some drinks, you know, if ever I was to watch a friend have sex, I think I would prefer to watch you, for I think you would really put on a show. And as I thought doing a spit take, I was truly baffled by my friend's logic, for I had to question truly what went on in that vacant office space behind his eyes. As I thought, what would I do so differently besides disappoint or pay like usual? Maybe he believed I would juggle as I hit it from behind or play banjo. Because who doesn't enjoy a hoedown when, well, you get the point. Yes, maybe I would don a mask and entertain him with the third act of Hamlet, because orgasms and Shakespeare go hand in hand. Or maybe I would play Wipeout and do a backflip dismount like some circus monkey. Sometimes I question if my demented mental state was contagious. Either that, or if most of my friends were seemingly fed lead paint chimps from birth. All I know is I kept my blinds shut and checked the bedroom closet regularly, for editors are a strange lot and can find themselves in some awkward places. Of course, I do believe my co-editor was comfortable living in the closet. Now it's time for a page turn. <All right. laughs> Seems he keeps a few things, including his sexuality, there. Hey, man, I know what I said was weird, but please don't turn that into a right, okay? I looked at my friend and slapped him on the shoulder as I prepared to call a cab and head home. Don't worry, kid. I'd never do something so cheap as to exploit my friends for some simple laughs, I said as I headed out the door. The bartender just looked at him, snickering. Yeah, the ocean is filled with sharks, and who needs enemies when you got a friend like me? The page doesn't
All right.
work, but when it comes to exploitation and publication, in dealing with me, truly, all bets are off. Leave no rock unturned, children. Cheers from the real bad guy.
Question for you. Question.
Oh, yippee.
I just saw the mood go down. I just.
No, dude, go ahead. I don't care.
Do you find any connection between your health, physical or mental, and your relationship with poetry? Is there a connection?
My relationship with poetry? We have my relationship with poetry is like this. We have a love-hate relationship. I love it, and it hates me.
Tell me more.
No,
tell me more, buddy.
No.
Okay.
I don't
You're
know.
Not on trial. You're not on trial, man.
I feel like it. Next time I'm getting a lawyer to this I came here to bring a laugh to you, but I'm not trying to literally
Well, let me ask this question. Let me ask this question.
And I bring the party.
Okay. Here's one that I think you can answer. Not that you couldn't answer the other ones, but
no, I didn't know. So, you... Fine.
Okay.
Wow.
If you were a poet during a different era, when, where would you want to exist? That's a good question. Easy for you. Easy.
That's very good.
Okay.
Hey, back to the 60s. I would fit in great.
Okay.
Man. I would be quite normal. You know,
okay, yes.
I could hang out with Sparkle and Moonbeam, and we could live in a commune, and yeah, it'd be great, man.
Okay. So the era of the 60s would be the perfect place for you.
I do believe so. Maybe 70s. I don't know. The 80s. Who knows? 90s. Now. I don't know. There's only one me. I'm always going to be me no matter where I am. You don't want to take me too far back. Then it would be like, I know what would happen to me. It's burning up the stage.
Read another poem until I prepare my next question.
Are you preparing I'm dedicating so many poems, but I want to dedicate this to, I swear she's not my therapist, but another one to this beautiful woman, Lynn Bowen.
Okay.
And it's There She Virgos. All right. Off again, a beautiful vision as wild as the wind. Hearts are as fragile as the willow tree, given to storms passing days with an elegance few could ever truly fathom. Inner habits is her brilliance, contempt and isolation and lost within, overthinking and loving and reframed grace. Her strength speaks for her passion, understood by few and shared by only whispers and saints. It's in the unspoken words and connection of two shared as what feels as one, as so do the signs orbit in a jaded sun's house, to find innocence in the moments shared, peaceful, as love's embrace locked away, a restrained fire matched by a beauty that will tempt this worn soul like a moth to a flame. Sensual is the hidden grace, the sunrise holds beauty, as now from the depths I have arisen to embrace you. Sometimes within everything unspoken, sometimes within every unspoken word, she truly says it all. My beautiful Virgo. All right.
Oh. Oh, wow, man.
John, you're so nice.
Yeah, something comes over you, man, when you write poetry about the person that you love. That's all right. I like that. I like that. I've got a question for you, speaking of love.
Okay. Well, I'm being serious, man.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Wow, I can just make you laugh all the time.
Man, I need to laugh. God knows I do. Here we go.
Yes.
Can you love a poem? Listen to me. This is for 500, Alex. Can you love a poem? Can you love a poem that says what you don't want to hear?
Oh, yeah,
dun,
of course.
Dun. Tell me
more.
Yeah,
of course. Certainly. I mean, you know, there's some things that sometimes you write. Like with me, I'm always kind of like, you know, I go deep. I mean, I know people are like, wow, yeah, okay. But I go deep. But, I mean, I think that's where the best work comes from. It's kind of like pushing yourself to an edge, even to where you're a bit uncomfortable. So sometimes I don't think about it. Like, I'm unfiltered, you know. I mean, like, you know me. That's the way I am in real life. I say things that don't make a lot of sense, and people think, God, how does he live in reality? I'm like, no, I don't. I live in an alternate dimension. But, no, yeah, sometimes you can go there and you can definitely write something that just gets you, and you can't, in fact, I have a great example of that you just really, you don't want to read, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your truth, but then it's beautiful because you share it, and it, you know what I mean? It might connect with other people. So, yeah.
Will you share with us tonight?
Yes, as soon as I find it. No.
Okay. Would you like me to take another musical break? You know, I love my musical breaks. Don't you like me to take another one? I'm always ready to get that break.
You have to take a musical break. I'm just saying.
I am always ready to hit that button for a musical break.
Okay. Well, no, I have the right. This is this is one that actually our buddy, who seems like he's crazy, my co-editor, my little brother, published. I don't usually read anything that's in publication. Everything is usually always brand new. But this one is one of those that I didn't want to write, but I did. And it's called Kentucky Blue. I know you didn't linger for yourself, as any pain is a burden, no matter the vessel it is bestowed upon. I'm never the easy one to love, and we were a pair of mutts, all would overlook besides one another. Drinks and memories, the red promise that is the glimmers upon a sunset's farewell. Goodbye, my friend. Forever may you run free. Same to that one. Yeah, that was one of them I didn't like to write. But
wow, you know, for some reason I felt there needed to be a moment of silence. That was deep, John.
Well, thank you, but you know, there's some things you don't want to write. But you know, if you write your truths, you're gonna hit a nerve.
Yes,
and that's
I agree with that. And I believe you should live your truth, man, whatever that is. I really do.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's a question. How do your poems develop? Please guide us through, if you can, the stages of a poem. It doesn't need to be form and all that kind of stuff, but just how does a poem develop for you?
For me, I mean, just being completely – for once in my life, I'm being completely serious. There is a process. I always – usually I want to get a mood, so whatever mood I'm going for, I get music. Music's always part of my process.
All right.
Listen to music. I kind of get in that headspace no matter what it is, if it's painful or whatever. And I just kind of get that it's, you know, it's kind of like what would you call it? A mantra or whatever going, where you're kind of getting that energy that you want. And then I go for it, you know, and you just let it go. And if it hurts or whatever, you just go with it. It's like, you know, it's like the ocean, man. You just kind of go with it. You know, that's how everything works. If you fight it, and try to know it needs to fit this little format or whatever. I just think that's utter bullshit. But yeah, so I don't know. I actually answered a question. Unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
is the world ending tomorrow?
I know. I am so surprised. Here's one more question before we go back to your incredible performance tonight. How hard should you work at a poem? How hard should you work at one in terms of writing it?
Honestly, if you're not putting everything into it, then why in the hell you expect anybody to read it? You know, if you're just, I mean, there's writers, I'm not trying to make fun of people, but if you sit down and say, hey, I have to pen 20 writes a day, like a machine, then you're full of crap because pour every ounce of energy and write one write. That's great. Instead of 15 that are half-assed, you know, or 20, because I can't count, obviously, but numbers are not my strong suit. So you should work. You should bust your ass. It's work at the end of the day. And if you take it that way and you take it serious, it's like anything you put, whatever you put into something, you're going to get out of it. You know. And if you take it like a joke, I've suffered from a lot of what I do. And so no matter if people think I'm a clown or whatever, I always, you know, I always put the work in. So hope that answers the question.
It does. And you're a renowned editor, so you've seen a lot of people's work in terms of whether they put themselves into it or not. I mean...
I wouldn't know about the renowned part. I'm very well known, though. I guess that's the same thing. Never mind.
Let's take a brief break.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, and we'll be right back. You know who I am. I am Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with my brother from another mother, my good friend, John Patrick Robbins. Please share another poem, my friend.
All right. This is, as you know, Michael, I'm working on a special project. I showed you a cover to it. This is, as people literally try to message me, I love this when I'm on your show. How dare they? This is one from that special project, and really going to be a different kind of book, as you know. We're going to a different direction.
Yes.
It's called No Fools, No. All right. We were talking about our weekend together and how she loved looking out over the water, my arms wrapped around her, and how I dry-humped her as a fisherman passed who shot us the strangest look as she busted out in laughter at my batshit antics, happy as two kids, as she said to me, you know, next time I could wear a short skirt. I'm just saying, we could fuck in the woods. I had to laugh, for I believe my quest to find my match was over. She handed me crazy in spades and happiness by default. Two perfect fools underneath a soon-to-be setting February sun. Happiness is in the moments captured in mental photographs and simple poems as these. Cherish them eternal and never forget to awkwardly laugh out loud. End of that one.
Wow. John?
Yeah.
What have your face and name to do with your poetry?
What I didn't catch that question. What was that?
What have your face and name to do with your poetry?
Oh shit! If I advertised my face, people would be like, "What the fuck?" I didn't know Shrek could write poetry. What? It's awesome.
I didn't make that up. I didn't find that online. I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up.
Okay.
I just report the news. I don't write it.
No, I know. I know your game now.
Again, you know, what have your face and there. Name to do with your poetry, bud? I don't know if I can even answer that one myself.
Yeah, what they got to do with my poetry? I mean, it's like if you get a preconceived notion on seriousness, you get a preconceived notion of what you do. But I think if you do enjoy reading my work, and I'm grateful to anybody who does, seriously, because I never expect anybody to read my work. If you do enjoy my work and read my work, I think if you truly know it, you know that it's never going to be the same thing, and I'm never going to do anything half-assed. It might be misspelled, but it's never half-assed.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. You know. All right. I like that. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Read another poem. Read another poem.
All right. Now we're going to go there with a little blue humor. I'm just saying, because you don't get this with everybody, Michael.
No, I get it with nobody.
You know it.
I get it with nobody.
That's
why I love you, man.
Okay. Yeah, I know. And I love you, too. And everybody's like, oh,
all right, buddy.
John just wormed his way in there. You're damn right I did. Nah.
That's
anyway,
all right.
This
That's
is
all right.
This is a little bad one that I know a buddy of mine probably listened out there. My big brother, you've had him on here, Kevin Hitchman. I think I said his name right, once. It's amazing. It says I've had enough cocktails. He'll get a laugh from this one, and it's called The Happy Heathen. All right. She said, as we sat enjoying drinks, you know, it was a bit of a surprise yesterday when you slipped your dick in my ass. Do you do that often? Well, duh. No, being it's the first time I stuck it up yours, silly girl, I quickly replied after taking a sip of my drink. To which my lovely bed companion shook her head as she busted out in laughter. Sweetheart, keep in mind, in dealing with any true heathen, we fight just like we fuck, by taking advantage of every unlocked door and unturned stone in sight. Well, let me tell you something, my darling. You ram the gates again with no warning, you're going to wake up with a dildo shoved up your ass, she replied, with a dead serious look in her eyes that told me this seemingly friendly joke had a tinge of truth. Needless to say, I would not be sleeping upon my stomach anytime soon. Take heed in how you treat your shield maiden, for upon the battlefield, as the same as the confines of the bed, she will show no remorse and always get her revenge. That said, now please take a seat and pardon me if I remain standing. Apparently there was a raid upon the southern gates last night. Laugh now, dear maiden, but this means war, and for fuck's sakes, would it have killed you to use some lube? Skull.
Wow.
Just thank you.
Well, that'll be the last time you appear on this show this century.
Children's day.
I know. Did you hear what I said? that will be the last time you appear on this show this century. But, wow, John.
Really?
You went for the gusto with that one.
You're not going to ban me. You like me too much.
No, I won't ban you, bud. I won't ban you. I'll just never invite you back.
You can get
but that won't be you won't be banned. You won't be banned, bud. You won't be banned. No, I wouldn't do that to you. Here's a question for you. Here, I got a question, man. I got a question.
Yay.
Where does your poetic doubt begin, and where does it end?
I like how you made that mistake. Where's my poetic doubt end? I don't know, Michael. You're getting a little rough around the edges there.
Where does your poetic doubt begin? And where does it end?
Begin.
Your poetic doubt about your craft. Let's put it that way.
Every single day I look at a page. I am the most insecure human being you'll ever meet. And if I wasn't insecure, why would I be writing? Think about it. We always kind of seek praise. Maybe it's something, you know, and it's like I love writing. But, I don't have this huge ego. You know, I have a lot of fun. I crack up, and then people think I don't. And I take the page dead serious. Do you know? Do I think I'm some great writer? No, of course not. but I do my best, and I think I entertain. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So there you go.
I like that. I like that, man. That was very concise and straight to the point. I like that.
Wow.
I like that. Now, when you're writing poetry, are you having a conversation when you read or write poetry? If so, with whom?
The many voices in my head. Once is a labyrinth. So you don't want to go in there. Trust me.
Okay.
That asylum's scary.
Right.
And there's, you know.
All right.
Yeah. No.
So that's your answer? Okay.
I have a conversation with people in my head. Yes, of course.
All right. Then please share another poem.
All right. This is a little bit of change of pace. I like to do things a little bit different, as you know. This is called throw people off everything. This is called The Witchapungo. Grace, did you die happy to escape the dunking into a pond that exists still, a reminder of ignorance and the so-called Christian's understanding? As earth and tide are a mistress of the elements and a story of legend, a debate to this day and a mystery to all. The best always keep you guessing, and you never thirsted, be part of the equation. You never hid your truths, and that is a quality I will eternally admire. A toast to you is all that needs to be said, apart from this tribute upon this page. Be one with the earth and stars, as God and goddess. Blessed be, Miss Sherwood. There you go. History. Wow, history lesson. Amazing.
Wow. Wow. Now, here's a serious question for you. This is based on your craft and what you do as an editor. This is one of those kind of questions where we bring other people in. Can you give any advice to someone wanting to write and publish poetry? That's a basic question. Very basic.
You know, I think one of the biggest things I can say, if you want to write and publish poetry, immerse yourself in books, immerse yourself in writers. You know, it's a craft. Dedicate yourself to it. I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that library card is really worth something, far more than people know.
Right.
And I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I dove into work, and it's a beautiful thing. But don't just sit there and think, oh yeah, I'm just going to write. No. Don't read one writer. Expose yourself to every style you can, because it's like, you know, you don't go to a construction job with just a hammer. You know, you want to have every tool in the bag. And so I would say, open your mind up. You know, mind's a sponge. Put everything you can in there. It's just like music, man. The more you open yourself up to experience people, culture, and everything else, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You can always take, and I do. I take, just like from people you meet, I take something from everything. And there you go.
All right. Well, what surprises you most, my friend, about being a poet? What surprises you most?
That it doesn't get me discounts at the liquor store. I mean, you know, that's a fair one. I'm like, I'm a writer. They're like, fuck you. You have to pay like everybody else. Money, what is this? What is this of which you speak of?
What surprises you, man? What surprises you about what you do?
The ego of people. That's what surprises me. The closed-mindedness.
The people?
Yeah, the closed-mindedness. And not present company excluded, by the way. But the closed-mindedness of some people, they're supposed to be open-minded. And I'm not going to call out people, but, yeah, sometimes I find that to be, to me, I always thought, you know, you always think the grass is greener on the other side. And you find that, you know, it's just a different shade of, you know, closed-mindedness, I should say. And that's mean, I guess, but that's true. And that surprised me.
I can understand I can understand that.
I got a good write for that one too. Might as well get a little meaning on here.
Well, we have time for two more poems, my friend.
Okay.
Break a leg.
This is one that might get people a little bit. and kind of, you know, curved into what I was talking about. It's called Facts of This Not-So-Lit Scene. It appears I'm too tall to be a poet. Being I'm well over 5 foot, who gives a fuck? I don't cherish a PA system and refuse to live in a commune, sucking ass and sniffing farts of pretentious twats who yearn to be worshipped as gods for scribbling just the same as I. I don't post enough selfies because I break the camera with every attempt at capturing my, at best, rough image. I don't write poems about other nerds who live in their basement with their legion of cats and millions of followers on Facebook, none of which have they ever met in person. I don't hang with a stylish group of snobs selling themselves, forgetting the simple fact that they are poets, not rock stars instead. I don't kiss enough ass, as I simply work every day publishing people, running a million mags, living, dying, bleeding, every last bit of my life upon that page, because I am a writer and nothing more. Looking for a punchline to this joke, right? If you are in that aforementioned group, simply look in the mirror and have a chuckle. You have a great day, Snookums. My poetic balls are always to that proverbial wall, my darlings. Insincerely yours, the Mad Editor. Boom.
Mm. Oh, that packs a punch.
Yeah, you think?
You were speaking to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
One
right,
more for the road, my friend. Yes.
One more for the road. Okay. I'm going to read one a little bit different than what I normally do. And
okay.
Say, God, everything you do is a little bit weird. Okay, this
mm-hmm.
is I've kind of made a niche of doing some what I consider Norse rites.
Okay.
That are a little bit different. And this is, we'll see. It's called In Sacrifice and Summoning. To seek the company of the gods, we must treat them as any welcome guests. Offer them food, drink, and songs, and cherish their silence, and simply embrace their knowledge is beyond our understanding. Ask Freya about love, as you may ask Odin about all. Drink with Bragi when your pages need inspiration. And speak to Frigg when you hold doubt, if they are the one to stand at your side. Feast with Thor when you must summon great strength, and always look within first before asking for anything at all. It is never a matter of being the one who can answer in a trivial sense, for the purest of heart will always bleed true to those who see the intentions of all. Stand with the gods who will walk with you in return. Skull. It's the end of that one. It's all right.
Mm. Wow. Where can listeners find your work, my friend? Where can they find your work?
Well, where can't they find my work? you can find my work on Amazon. You can find my work on Lulu. You can find my work in a couple trash cans.
Okay.
You can find it just about everywhere. And of course, if you're looking, the Rye Whiskey Review, a dozen magazines. You know, just Google your name or, you know, I like to Google myself, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, so do I.
But, you know, yeah, there
okay.
you go. I mean, I Googled you too,
okay.
So it's like, there you go. We're friends like that, but, you know.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about
how
it.
Can,
Michael, but I'm saying.
How can listeners stay in touch? How can they stay in touch, buddy? How can they stay in touch?
If you want to stay in touch with me, you can write the magazine. Who's the duck is the editor at gmail.com. That's whothededuckistheeditor@gmail.com, the longest and most awkward email of all time. There you go.
All right. finally,
yes.
Which comes not too soon. What is in the works for you next, my friend? Where do you go from here?
As you know, because I've read a couple here, there's I have two projects. One, it will be coming out with my my big brother at the press, actually absolutely fantastic writer that I look up to, Kevin Hishman.
Yes.
We've got a book coming out that's really going to be something unique and cool. And then I have the follow-up to Death Rattle once, as you know, it's going to be completely different. And you heard a little bit from that. So
yes.
That's what's on the horizon. So yeah.
Well, my friend, yes, I'd like to thank you as always for sharing your work, enlightening us with different, just enlightening us. If there's one thing you can do is enlighten. You can enlighten. Oh, my God, can you enlighten? But I want to thank you, as always, for sharing your talent, sharing you, being yourself, being unbridled in terms of the way that you share. I'd like that. I really appreciate it. You're my buddy. You're my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you for letting me be on, Michael. And I appreciate it. And you are definitely a brother. And I thank the world of you, and thanks for having me on and putting up with my lunacy. But always, you know, and thank you.
All right.
And enjoy the drink
thank
with
you.
Me as always.
All right. I've got one more question.
Oh, okay.
I won't do that.
That's why you got the lighting right, because I'm like, yeah, you're going to do that, and I'm going to do something really weird.
Good night to everybody. It's National Poetry Month. Go out and enjoy it. And as I share every week, let poetry ring somewhere throughout the land. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Quintessential Listening, Poetry Online Radio, is available on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also check out the website at qlpor.com.